say goodbye to Walter Ellis. Good old 5'11" Walter. Who could forget his blue eyes and brown hair and some kind of striped shirt with maybe something written on it?
This is ridiculous. Even Father Donovan can't remember who this poor schlub was.
You will be respectful in the house of the Lord. Look at Steve. He's a good Christian child. Mouth shut, nose in the Bible.
Brett Morris.
Stan Smith. So, you like paddle boats?
Damn right. I think it's because they remind me of a simpler, better time when white males had all the power instead of just most of it.
I know. I hate how we only have most of the power. The problem is the liberals' generous social programs.
Exactly. They've turned us into a nation of wimpy,
flag-burning,
foreigner lovers. A simpler, better time when white males had all the power instead of just most of it.
I know. I hate how we only have most of the power.
Let's do something wicked.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you,
never seen any reason to believe God exists.
Okay, well, I can help you with that. Give me 1 second.
Lab.
Hey, fellas, how you coming with that machine that beams an image of the Christian God directly into people's brains?
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be.
Oh, babies. There's so many of you. Just be cool down the front and don't push around. Just keep still, keep together. Oh yeah. People, sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, come on now. That means everybody just cool out. Will you cool out, everybody? I know. I'm here. Everybody be cool now, come on. All right? How are we doing over there? All right? Can we still make it down the front? Is there anyone there that's hurt, huh? Everyone all right? Okay? All right? I think we're cool, we can go. It always happens, something very funny happens when we start that number.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
For us, the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision the UN's founders.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crookedy. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem, I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want, cause look. I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store, I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics, I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers, me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system, I can do anything with no assistance. Cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atoms of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule.
The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he he took the step without approval from either Congress or the people of the United States. Bill Tucker reports.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out 1,000,000 vaccinations, or let them all die from exasperation, have them all healed from their lacerations, or have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope. Through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust. In a holocaust, in a holocaust. In a holocaust, in a holocaust. In a holocaust.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars.
Hello, boys and girls. Lenny here from Motorhead on the electric telephone. And you're listening to Swimming at the Rainbow with young Julia, the Rooney.
Alex, there are some people who are talking about a UFO invasion. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but what do you hear also about possibility of fake UFO landings, a false flag?
Well, there's all sorts of false flags. We can have economic false flags, which always bring us into a greater crisis, which gives the new world order more control. We have staged terror events. You know, there's so many different things that happen, but I have, you know, personally studied the UFO phenomenon for decades. I mean, who doesn't look at it? It's so interesting. And we're this tiny planet orbiting the sun two-thirds of the way out here in the Milky Way galaxy. And so I'm not saying that I don't believe that there isn't other life forms in the universe. I'm not saying that we're alone. But chances are we're in the middle of nowhere, and you know, most of these civilizations and creatures probably don't care too much about us. And so I don't go there. People have trouble enough dealing with NORTHCOM training to put the American people in FEMA camps and gun confiscation going on by the National Guard in Illinois when that's in the mainstream news. So I never really get into the UFOs, though it's an intriguing area, other than getting into the information we have concerning staged UFO events. And as you know, George, and your audience, this is an area where your audience has just amazing expertise, and obviously you have more than I because you've covered this hundreds of times. But we know that there are declassified U.S. government plans that have been in even mainstream news for the last 15 years or so to project with giant hologram projection systems a 300-yard tall Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad. And the Pentagon admits that since the 70s, at least, they have been working on these giant projectors that can project a UFO. They can project a giant pizza in the sky if they wanted to.
True.
And so,
even the second coming.
Absolutely. So, A, we know that's going on. And we know that the New World Order is all about hoaxes, all about control, all about mass panic. And so it's admitted that they have spent billions of dollars in the United States alone. Other governments have done this as well, to develop fake UFO landings or fake hologram projections. Then we have Project Bluebeam, parts of it declassified, other parts leaked. A lot of other questionable information on the subject. But then, in the last 12 months or so, we've seen the Pope, Pope Benedict, come out and say, aliens are real, Jesus has other flocks, aliens are visiting us, they're our brothers.
Well, he didn't say they were visiting us, but he came close.
Well, you're right about that, but then he had a separate group in the Vatican say that, basically. The point is that the Pope's saying that aliens are real, and then we've had all these other groups and organizations say it. And now we've got a prominent astronaut come out and say that aliens are visiting the Earth, and there's basically a secret program with the aliens, and that the government's keeping it secret. And we've had other astronauts come out in the last few years and say that they saw UFOs on the moon, or they saw UFOs in orbit. And all of this seems to be coming at once, and we see other governments coming out and legitimizing it. A giant, you know, football field long or bigger UFOs over suburbs of Dallas, Texas, up in Denton earlier this year and last year. So all of this going on, it just looks contrived to me. And then we know that there's a plan to have a staged invasion. And they're saying bin Laden's going to be, you know, his dead body's going to be found this month. They're saying there's going to be a terror attack this month. They're saying aliens may, you know, invade or have a fake invasion this month. I don't know if any of that's true or if any of that's going to happen. All I know is I have never seen, George, such a legitimizing in the mainstream. I mean, Larry King lied.
Oh, I know. Numerous times.
I mean, every time I'm in a restaurant or I turn on the television, it seems like 6-7 times this year. And I hardly ever tune in, so it must be a lie. Larry King Live's talking about it being real, having all these guests, and other television programs, mainline news shows are saying it's real, and the government's saying get ready for something big, and all the disclosure projects and groups that are out there. So really, I just wanted to point out to listeners that we know that the Area 51 craft people are seeing, that's a government program. We know that for more than 2 decades, they already had the B-2 bomber before they rolled that out in 1987. We know that the Flying V's are a government project. And I interviewed Dr. Bob Bowman. You may not have interviewed him, but you may have. He's the former head of the Star Wars program. And he's very mainline. He doesn't, you know, get into UFOs or aliens or any of that. But he said that this much has been declassified, so he could talk about it on my website, InfoWars.com. He said that when he was there in the 70s and 80s, they already had circling the globe robotic drone remote control aircraft that were part of the decapitation program that dropped basically DU 100-pound larger depleted uranium SABO rounds out of orbit. And that the SABO rounds speed up. They're non-nuclear. You know, they're heavy. They're radioactive, but it's not a nuclear detonation, atomic or hydrogen or neutron. They drop them out of orbit, and that it can kill people 1,000 feet underground, much less 200 feet in a bunker. And that in the late 70s, the U.S. government, and he can only talk about this because some of this has been declassified, that they could basically kill every major world leader in less than an hour with these drone space platforms. You know, they don't send people up there. They can stay in orbit for years. They don't have to have any maintenance. If they do have a problem, they can just fly into deeper space and self-destruct. And so, from the former head of Star Wars program, the Strategic Defense Initiative, you know, he told me, and then others have told me, and the parts of it have been declassified, and he went as far as he could, and no more, that there have been drone aircraft in orbit and floating space stations. I mean, it's way more advanced than the public's told. The space shuttle was drawn by Wernher von Braun in 1941 for Hitler, and you know, it's been in service since the early 1980s, and they're talking about retiring it, and 2010 or 2011. So that's 1940s drawing board technology. That is not as advanced as the true space program gets. And so many of these unidentified flying object reports, so many of these programs we see, it turns out to fit in with black op secret projects we know the shadow government has. And imagine the religious, the socioeconomic, the societal effect it would have if they had a flying saucer land in Central Park and a robotic android came off, or these human-animal hybrids that the government admits they've created. I mean, what they admit is just amazing. I mean, basically, the sky is the limit for the type of hoax they could commit. And back during the 80s, during the kickoff of the Olympics, you know, they had the fake flying saucers landing, but said that it was just part of the show. But that looked real, and panic some people. Just Orson Welles getting on air and saying that in Bakersfield, these tripod flying saucers had landed, caused panic nationwide. And so imagine holograms appearing over major cities, over Mecca, over Tehran, over Moscow. Imagine a saucer or two landing and what looks like aliens coming out. This is the ultimate false flag, and that's why I've decided to go ahead and weigh in on the subject. It certainly is on the drawing board. It is feasible. And how intriguing is that, that the Pentagon admits, imagine what they're not telling us, and of course you're an expert on this, I'm sure you've seen all that, where they admit they've had staged UFO programs that have been at least theorized and prepared. I remember when they were going to have the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie come out, Last Action Hero. They did a big hologram projection in the sky just for the promotion of that. So this is real technology, and I think people should just be aware of that and questioning things if that unfolds.
Charlie Sheen, look at me. You borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard. Your face will melt off and your children will weep over your exploded body. Take the power of my mind. Wow, what does that mean?
Clearly he didn't bring gum for everyone.
I'm by winning.
Okay.
Wow, winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
It's how you perceive it. It's psychological distress. Oh my God.
What's the cure? Medicine?
What's that got to do with me?
Make me like them?
Shut up.
Shut up. I don't know, man. I was banging 7-gram rocks. Winning, because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Gut, gut, go. Scoreboard doesn't lie. Because I'm me. Winning.
Come Wednesday morning, they're going to rename it to Charlie Brothers and not Warner Brothers. Duh. Winning. I mean, come on, bro. I won the best picture at 20. Tiger Blood, you know, Adonis DNA.
Epic. Dying for fools. Normalize it. Boring, stupid, period, the end. Can't is the cancer of happen.
Shut up.
Can't is the cancer of happen. Wow, what does that mean?
Just the gibberish of fools.
Just do it.
While licking my feet.
What's not to love? You know, droopy-eyed, armless children. I expose people to magic. I expose them to something they're never otherwise going to see in their boring, normal lives. I closed my eyes and made it so. And it was radical. Winning, and that's a gift, man. And I believe the truth. And that's what rules me.
Okay.
What's that got to do with me?
Sit back and enjoy the show.
And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio. KDUR, Durango.
Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary. You can't stand rules because in your heart you know there's a better way. You have strengths dangerous to the establishment, and it wants them eliminated. So your whole life you've been told your strengths were weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Impulsivity is a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high and deep soulful insight when you're low. And diagnosed with a disorder, that's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens. On the social scene, space cadet.
substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space. The way is known by some as the will of God, divine providence, the Holy Spirit, the implicate order, the Tao, reverse entropy, life force. But for now, we'll simply call it the way. The way is reflected in you as the source of your inspiration, the source of your passions, your wisdom, your enthusiasm, your intuition, your spiritual fire, love. The way takes the chaos out of the universe and breathes life into it, giving it divine order. The way, when expressed by the mind, is genius. When perceived through the eyes, is beauty. When felt through the senses, is grace. When allowed into the heart, is love. Cannot sense the way directly, but then there are the wayseers, the keepers of the flame. Wayseers have an unexplainable knack for just knowing the way. They sense it in their very being. They can't tell you why or how they arrived at the right answer. They just know it in their core. They can't show their work, so don't ask. Their minds simply resonate with the way. Way is present, so are they. While others are blind to it, and society begs you to ignore it, the way stirs you inside. Neurological repression blocks most people's awareness of the way. Censoring all thoughts and impulses from the unconscious is their prefrontal cortex, the Gestapo of the brain. Nothing which violates its socialized programming even gets through. But your mind is different. Your mind has been cracked wide open to the way by some miraculous genetic trait, some psychotropic chemical, or maybe even by the will of your own soul. Your brain's reward pathways have been hijacked. Dopamine employed to overthrow the fascist dictatorship of your prefrontal cortex. Now your brain is free of repression. Your mind free of censorship. Your awareness exposed to the turbulent seas of the unconscious. Through this open doorway, divine light shines into your consciousness, showing you the way. This is what makes you a wayseer. 90% of human civilization is populated with those whose brains are blocked to the way. Their brains are hardwired to enforce the social programming indoctrinated since birth. Unlike you, they cannot break out of this programming because they have not yet experienced the necessary revolution of mind. These programmed people take social institutions and rules very seriously. Society is full of games programmed to keep people's minds occupied so they will not revolt. These games often cause sick fixations on peculiar protocols, power structures, taboos, and domination, all subtle forms of human bondage. This distinct form of madness is not only tolerated by the masses, but insisted upon. The programmed ones believe in rules so forcefully, they become willing to destroy anyone who violates them. Wayseers are the ones who call their bluff. Since wayseer minds are free to reject social programming, wayseers readily see these social institutions for what they are, imaginary games. Wayseers comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Helping those who are lost in these games and refuse to help themselves is the calling of many wayseers. Since wayseers are the ones who keep contact with the original source of reality, they are able to disrupt societal conventions and even governments to realign humanity with the way. The wayseers are an ancient lineage, a kind of priesthood, carriers of the flame, ones in the know. There must always be wayseers to reform the dizzying, psychotic spinning wheels of society. Giant, mindless hamster wheels obscuring the pure blue sky. Act.
seer, you found your tribe. Welcome home.
Lunch.
We're encouraging everyone to cooperate, stay off the streets. It's anticipated that a curfew will be put into effect tomorrow night. I think that the law enforcement people, fire personnel, the National Guard, Sheriff's Department, and all of the others who are joining in a coordinated effort are going to be able to keep this situation under control.
I don't know if you can, but can you get an order for ONS? That's ONS Junior Market. The address is 1934 East Anaheim. All the windows are busted out, and it's like a free-for-all here, and the owner should be able to come down here and see if he can secure his business if he wants to.
I finally got all that alcohol I can't afford. With red lights flashing, time to retire. And then we turned that liquor store into a structure fire. Next stop we hit it was the music shop. It only took one look to make that window drop. Finally we got our own PA. Where do you think I got this guitar that you're hearing today? Hey!
Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids? And I mean, we've got enough smog here in Los Angeles.
let alone to deal with the setting these fires and things. It's just not right. It's not right, and it's not gonna change anything. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, and that's all we want. And just I'm neutral. I love people of color. You know, I'm not like picking me out to be. We've got to quit. You know, after all, I mean, I can understand the first upset for the first 2 hours after the verdict, but to keep going on like this, and to see the security guard shot on the ground, it's just not right. It's just not right, because those people will never go home to their families again. And I mean, please, we can get along here. We all can get along. We just gotta, you know. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while. Let's try to work it out.
December 18th, 2010, Something Wicked Radio presents The Hermit by Aleister Crowley, an attack on the barber craft, dedicated to George Cecil Jones. "At last, an end to all I've hoped and feared," muttered the hermit through his elfin beard. "Then what art thou?" the evil whispered word. "I doubt me sorely if the hermit heard." To all God's question never word he said, but simply shook his venerable head. God sent all plagues, he laughed and heeded not, till the people certified him insane. But somehow all his fellow lunatics began to imitate his silly ticks, and stranger still, their prospers so enlarged that one by one the patients were discharged. God asked him by what right he interfered, he only laughed into his elfin beard. When God revealed himself to mortal prayer, he gave a fatal opening to Voltaire. Our hermit had dispensed with Sinai's thunder, but on the other hand, he made no blunder. He knew, no doubt, that any axiom would finish bricks to build some donkeydom. But all who urged that hermit to confess caught the infection of his happiness. "I would it were my fate to dree his weird. I think I will grow an elfin beard.
How can I go forward when I don't know which way I'm facing? How can I go forward when I don't know which way to turn? Feeling. don't know how to feel. Just don't know how to give. How can we go forward when we don't know which way to turn? How can we go forward into something we're not really sure of?
Something Wicked right here on KDUR 91.9 FM and 93.9 FM Durango, Colorado. Right up here in the Rocky Mountains, folks. Come up and see us. Or at least one of you. Or one at a time, whichever.
Something Wicked.